Thank you. Good, that as we worship there, it leads so well. As often happens, as often is the case, worship kind of just continues as I speak, hopefully, because the whole sort of theme that was coming through there of standing on the rock, I think is so appropriate to us today. And as we think about how we go about our daily what we do, then I think that that actually that is such an important factor, is that we're founded with we know we're standing on the rock, and so it leads so well on to being able to sort of just talk about this whole continuing this series on relating to work. And sorry, I kind of put the slide together, or I kind of added the slide at the last minute. So we're not talking about orc, we're talking about work. Orcs are for a different series in three parts mostly, I think, aren't they? So, we're continuing the series today on work. And again, can I just encourage you to, if you've not been able to hear, or indeed if you have heard the other talk so far in the series, then go to the website, and I think they should be available there. So Julian's from a couple of weeks ago. And that, I think, would be particularly good if you weren't able to hear what Julian said a couple of weeks ago, it'd be good to listen to that, because that was very much a sort of setting the scene, an introduction into this particular series that we're doing. Karen Kircher spoke last week. I actually missed that one. I was with the children, and so I haven't had the chance to listen to it, but I will get to that. But she actually gave quite a helpful definition of work, because I think sometimes when we start talking about work, it's quite easy to like, if you're someone who's at school, or if you're someone who's retired, it can be quite easy to switch off and think it doesn't apply to me. But actually, Karen gave quite a helpful definition, was whatever we do that's not leisure. That kind of broadens it out in that sense, and so it's appropriate to all of us. And actually, the things that I'm going to be talking about, hopefully, regardless of your employment situation, hopefully you can employ it to your day-to-day life. I even want to sort of perhaps take that a little step further, because I saw somewhere it said, what do you do on a Monday? Which kind of said that actually, if we're talking about the things that we do, and talking about things like parenting children, being a husband, being a wife, whatever sort of, if we're saying sort of that is included as well in what we're talking about, then actually, why are we waiting till tomorrow? It starts now, really, or it starts at lunchtime, or it starts beyond that. So actually, if we're going to think broadly, then let's think broadly, okay? And so let's not get stuck into this, it's about 9 to 5, Monday to Friday. Okay, so I am taking, I'm grabbing hold of what I think is one of the best, if not the best, other than Jesus, biblical examples of someone who I believe excelled in this whole area, and that is Joseph. Because I think he is a fantastic example of how we should be approaching this whole thing of how we relate to our involvement in the world, our doing the things that we do that are not leisure, whether that's work, school, whatever else. So I'm going to read from Genesis 39, and I shall, so that I can keep facing you, I'll just... I'm not checking my messages, okay? I'm just checking Facebook, you know, and Twitter, and okay. So it says, now Joseph had been brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, had bought him from the Ishmaelites, who had brought him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man, and he was found in the house of his Egyptian master. His master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. So Joseph found favor in his sight and attended him, and he made him overseer of his house and put him in charge of all that he had. From the time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian house of Joseph's for Joseph's sake. The blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in house and field. So he left all that he had in Joseph's charge, and because of him, he had no concern about anything but the food he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance, and after a time his master's wife cast her eyes on Joseph and said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Behold, because of me, my master has no concern about anything in his house, and he has put everything that he has in my charge. He is not greater in his house than I am, nor has he kept back anything from me except you, because you are his wife. Now then, can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And he spoke, and as she spoke to Joseph day by day, he would not listen to her, to lie beside her or to be with her. But one day, when he went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house was there in the house, she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." But he left his garment in her hand and fled and got out of the house. And as soon as he saw that he had left his garment in her hand and had fled out of the house, she called to the men of the household and said to them, "See, he has brought among us a Hebrew to laugh at us. He came in to me to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice. And as soon as he heard that I had lifted up my voice and cried out, he left his garment beside me and fled and got out of the house. Then she laid up his garment by her until his master came home. And she told him the same story, saying, "This Hebrew servant whom you have brought among us came in to me to laugh at me. And as soon as I lifted up my voice and cried, he left his garment beside me and fled out of the house." As soon as the master heard the words of his wife, that his wife spoke to him, "This is the way your servant treated me," his anger was kindled, and Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, and the place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison put Joseph in charge of all the prisoners who were in prison. Whatever was done there, he was the one who did it. The keeper of the prison paid no attention to anything that it was in Joseph's charge, because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made succeed. And I just think this is just such a fantastic example to us of how we go about what we do. Because if we remember what has just happened to Joseph, he had that dream. He was having the dream where his brothers were bowing down to him. And so he told his brothers, and this just added to all the stuff that had been going on. And they got so angry, and they hated him, and they despised him so much that they first of all threw him down the pit, and then they sold him. We find him as a slave in Egypt. So this young man who had been pretty brash and not very subtle, and he suddenly found himself in a situation where he was a slave. His freedom had been completely taken away. He was completely away from all the people he knew. And to add to that, of course, the Jewish people, we see throughout history, certainly through the Old Testament into the New Testament, we see how there was this sort of, they despised the Gentiles. They saw themselves as above and better. And so this is a context which we find Joseph finding himself. But rather than being bitter, and rather than being angry and bitter, we find him carving out for himself suddenly as a slave. He is obviously behaving in such a trustworthy way, such an honorable way, that his master puts him in charge of everything that he has. and basically puts his reputation into Joseph's hands, because the trust that he puts in Joseph, basically anything then that happens in his house reflects back onto him as his master. And so he puts all his trust into this slave that he's bought. And so clearly Joseph was acting in a way that created in his master such a level of trust, and such a level of that he was willing to put this sort of level of trust in him. And so the other thing we see here is that everything that Joseph was doing, God was causing to succeed. And I think this is key as we look through this, and this is why I believe it's a key example for us. So I've got, as we like to do sometimes as preachers, I've got three F's and then I've got four G's. Sorry, it's only 4G. We haven't modernized, get up to 5G yet, but, you know, I didn't want to contrive it just to be modern and popular and all that. So we've got three Fs, first of all. So we've got faithfulness. So our attitude and our worth ethic should be we're serving God. And regardless of who we are working for, and because I know we've probably all had experience of that, of times where we've either been at work, or whether we've had a teacher that we've sort of really don't get on with at school, or a boss that we find really, really quite frustrating at times. I'm sure majority of us have had some sort of experience of these things. And yet we need to be acting and behaving as if we're serving God, and it's him we're serving. Joseph was clearly acting in a way that was very honorable, very trustworthy, and he was being faithful to God, and he was being faithful to his master. He was clearly impressed, and to those in authority over him. And to the level, as I said before, that the master was willing to put his own reputation into the trust of Jacob. Now, as it was, through lies of the master's wife, his character comes into question. But actually, we know that was all a total pack of lies. And actually, he remained very honorable and true through that situation. One area that I would have really liked to tackle but don't have time to this morning is that whole area of, as we are in work, temptations will come, and we might be asked by people to be dishonorable. We might be asked by people to sort of lie for the sake of the business, or in some sort of context like that. But Jacob. Actually, as I was going through my notes, I kept saying Jacob rather than Joseph. So if I say Jacob, please excuse me, I mean Joseph, okay? It doesn't help, obviously, that I've got a son called Jacob who's away in America at the moment. So that's another issue. But Joseph is the one we're talking about this morning. So what we also see is that even when going from a point of a slave to rising up to being such a trusted servant, he then, because of these lies, ends up in prison. So just when he thought, like, things were going well, things can't get better, I was down in the depths, I was a slave, but God has caused me to succeed and find favor, and through acting honorable, he ends up in prison, so it's like gone to even worse still. But he remains faithful to the point where the guy in charge of the prison realizes that there's something special about this guy, there's something trustworthy about this guy. And the thing we've got to see there is actually in Joseph, again, there's not this sense of bitterness. He could have been, couldn't he? And we can all, we have our moments, don't we, where we just feel so hard done by, where we feel life is not being at all fair to me. And there are times, and Joseph, you can imagine, that must have been the place where that was a big temptation for him. But I don't think if that had been his driving force, he would never have been into this trusted position in the prison, where the prison guy in charge of the prison basically put everything under Joseph's charge. And so there is this different spirit about Joseph that actually says, no, I'm going to be different. I'm going to stand up for what is right and true here. So there was a faithfulness. And then there's a fruitfulness. So the second F is fruitfulness. So what we see is that actually because of Joseph being in that master's household and then being in the prison, things succeed. Things go well because Joseph is there, because God causes it to succeed. And I think this is very true for us as well. We can expect that as well. So if we are in a business, I believe that we should expect to see God bless it. I definitely think that. And I kind of, as I look back over my career in work, I can see how the companies that I've worked for, I believe God has blessed them, not because of my ability necessarily, or hopefully to some degree, you never know, but first and foremost, because I am there as God's ambassador, and that because I am there, God causes it to succeed, because God is in favor of me. And so God causes where I go to see blessing. So there was fruitfulness because of God's hand upon Joseph. And he found himself in incredible areas of influence because of God's blessing upon him. Despite his circumstances, God caused him to have amazing influence. So there was fruitfulness. And I think there's also fulfillment there as well. So that's my third F. And I think we can be in situations, we can find ourselves in situations where we wouldn't have chosen to be. And that is very much the case of Joseph. He wouldn't have even chosen to be in Egypt for a start, let alone, first of all, as a slave and then in prison. So he would never have chosen to be. That was not on his 5-year plan. It wasn't even on his 10-year plan. It wasn't even on his short-term plan. And yet God caused him, I believed, because when you see what happens then, as in the later chapters, as he comes out of the prison, as he then goes from not just being trusted with everything in the master's household, trusted with everything in the prison, but he basically becomes number two in Egypt itself, which was pretty much one of the probably the most powerful nation around that area at the time. And so and you can see in him that he's finding fulfillment in what he's doing, and I believe that is true for us as well. We may not find ourselves where we expect to be, but I believe if we will follow faithfully and if we will stay trustworthy and serve, I believe that God will cause us to find fulfillment in what we are doing. And that's whether you're in a work, whether you're in retirement, whether you're in school, I believe that's true. And in the end, of course, through Joseph's family, through Joseph, not only was Jacob's family saved, but actually Egypt, you can imagine, Egypt must have, it just blossomed because of what Joseph did. Because of God speaking through Joseph, because of God being upon Joseph, that nation, that heathen nation of Egypt, which would have been despised by the Jewish people, was amazingly blessed and made very rich by the fact that Joseph, because of Joseph's involvement. And so, and actually that whole area around there, because people came to Egypt to get food. And it's incredible. And I think this is here as an example. I don't think this is meant to be a unique story in life. I believe this is an example of how God can bless us. Now, we may not find ourselves as sort of basically prime minister of a country. Maybe you will. But I believe that actually the thing behind this, the fact that if we will be faithful to God, if we will serve him, he will cause us to succeed and he will cause us to be an influence, an amazing blessing where we go. And so I believe that's true. So on to our four G's. I kind of thinking what we need, how we need to approach this, how we move forward, the things we pray for when we're thinking about the things that we do every day. Okay, so if we four G's, are they? There's only three. Sorry, I forgot. I added the fourth G, which was perhaps my most important, came in when I was doing my teeth. So I'd already done the notes by then, so sorry, I confused you there. You'll see where the fourth G comes in. So first G is grace. And as we're praying, we need to pray for grace. And I think that's very true as you go into any situation, whether it's work or school or anything else we go into, you need the grace of God, don't you? Because there are things that are going to annoy you. There are things that are going to outright make you angry and cross. And we need the grace of God upon us to be able to act in a way that's honourable and faithful and true, first to him and then to those that we are working for or the school that we're in. And I think that is something that we really, really need to pray daily as we go to whatever we're doing that day. We need to pray for the grace of God to be upon us so that we're able to have a good heart and a good spirit towards those that we are in amongst, and particularly our bosses, supervisors, school teachers, or whoever it may be that we're sort of dealing with that particular day ahead. And so, first of all, we pray for the grace of God. The second G is the one that's missing from there, which is generosity. And, you know, I've spoken about generosity before, but I felt that actually it's very appropriate in this situation, because I think it's our generosity can have a massive effect on those around us. And actually it has an effect on us to enable us to be a better witness for him. I think we need to be generous with our time. We need to be generous with our funds as well. And I don't know about you, but when you see that email come through saying there's a collection for so-and-so whose sort of 41st birthday it is today or something like that, someone that you've seen once sort of in your working life who's in the same company as you, there's something in me that just sort of, I'm sorry, but sometimes I get a bit of a bad attitude about those sorts of things. But quite often God has to challenge me and say, is that my heart towards that person? And found out again. But sometimes I have to provoke myself and think, no, I need to be generous. I need to show the blessing. I need to show that actually there's something different about me. I want to be generous towards this person. So that's just a silly example, but you know what I mean. Those are the sort of little things that can irritate people like me. I need to sort of know the grace of God in those situations. I need to remember actually how amazing God has been towards me, how much God has blessed me. And actually, we know that it's a truth, isn't it? That as we give out, as somebody said, we may have quite a good-sized shovel, but God's shovel is always far bigger than ours. And so as we are generous towards others, I believe we release the blessing of God into our own lives, apart from anything else, because we've got a much better spirit about ourselves if we're doing it, obviously, in the right attitude. So I believe that generosity is an important one. I just want to apply this in a certain way as well. It's about getting involved in things, because I think by getting involved in things, we have the opportunity to influence things. When we were in the Isle of Man, when we'd not long been there, they were after people to join what they called the Friends of School Vallagiort. It was School Vallagiort that our children went to, and it was like a parent-teacher sort of thing where they sort of raised funds to help things happen in the school. And it's the sort of thing that I don't naturally go towards. But as we were talking about it, we felt it would be good for me to get involved, apart from anything else, just to get to know some more people. And so I went along to it for a few years, and I even became treasurer of it for a while. And I must say, it was never the sort of thing that I got excited about, the fact that there was a friends meeting that evening sort of thing. But I felt, actually, those are the sort of things that it's good to get involved with. It's good to get involved. If you're a parent and there's things going on in the school, it's good to get involved. Julia, before, she ended up working for the school there, but before that, she became a parent governor there because, again, we felt it was good to get in amongst the school, in amongst the parents, in amongst the teachers, to be an influence and to be a blessing and be generous with our time towards that. And so I think these are things that it's good to get involved, and it's good to get stuck in with our time as well as our giving. So quickly the last couple of G's, which is the goodness of God. So as I said, I believe that as we're praying for these things, we should pray for grace. Sorry about that. We should pray for generosity in us. We should pray for the goodness of God. We should pray for the blessing of God on what we're involved with, whether it be the school we're at, whether it be our business that we're involved with. And because I believe we can expect that, as I've already said. So fourthly, the glory of God, because actually everything we do, of course, isn't it, is for the glory of Him. And I believe that we should pray that as we... That's Jacob sending messages. I thought I'd turn the volume down, but that's... he's just woken up in America at 6 o'clock in the morning. He must have jet lag. Everything we do is for the glory of God, isn't it? And so this, as we're praying about our place of work, going into school, we need to be thinking about the fact, actually, as I go today, I am going for the glory of God. That is what I'm going there for. Yes, I'm going to sort of put together a profit and loss account today or whatever you might be doing. I'm going for a physics exam or whatever it is. I'm going there for the glory of God. And so these are the four things, I think, as we're thinking about going about what we do day to day. We're praying for the grace of God upon us. We're praying for God's generosity to be a blessing to others and help us be a blessing and an influence. We're praying for the success of God on the things that we do, that people should be blessed. And we're praying that God will be glorified in all that we do. And okay, if we can just stand up. If you need to go and collect your children, please sneak out while we just pray and go and relieve the children's workers and thank them and bless them. Lord Jesus, we do pray that as we go through this whole series, that it would just help us just and equip us better to apply what we're learning, what we're knowing from you, what we're receiving to you, and how to be a blessing to others, how to be an influence that just blesses and brings success to others, that Father, help us to play our part, that people should be pointed towards you, that at times we will then have the opportunity to just talk about the hope that we have and to be able to share the hope that we have, why we are like what we are. Father, I pray that you would help us to grab hold of that thing that Joseph grabbed hold of that turned him from being that arrogant teenager to being the trusted slave, the trusted prisoner, the trusted worker, the trusted prime minister, whatever he was, effectively, of Egypt. Lord, I pray that you would help us to have that same determination to be faithful to you and to live for your glory, to work for your glory, to go to school for your glory, to be retired for your glory. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would bless us and empower us to live for your glory. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, buddy.